And now it's time for Out and About with Elaine LaRoche. And now, here's Elaine.
Wow, I feel like I'm on the Johnny Carson show. Either that or The Price is Right and Come On Down. Well, good morning, everyone. You are listening to Out and About with Elaine, and in studio, Mike Catanzaro is here. And also, we have a blast from the past. My former news director from WARA 1320, Richard Lunt, is in the studio, and we'll be talking to Richard in just a little bit. But wow, that snowstorm came in, didn't it, huh? Whew. We lost power in Attleboro, and some of the places are still reporting outage. We get power back at 4:45 this morning, I understand. But Cumberland Farms has a big sign. It says, store closed, no power. But the lights are on, so what do you do? I figured, well, okay, I'm going to go in because I'm going to drive in, you know, walk in because the lights are on. Well, they're not, because the registers are down, and they explained that to me. So, but I thought, ironically, what's funny is, like, right in that same mall, the Honeydew Donuts is going strong. Cumberland Farms on County Square, their power is still off, as well as the Dunkin' Donuts across the street. As you come down, Domino's Pizza, their lights are out as well. And as you continue on by Capron Park, it seems like everybody down in this end has power. Studio has power too, and so that's really good to know. But anyway, yeah, it's been a really crazy time. It's just been a really crazy time. One of our very first ice storms, I guess you would say. And we can't wait to talk to Jim Corbin at 7:35, because it's just going to be one of those days.
A new company was started yesterday.
A new company was started yesterday?
The Rhode Island Acme Concrete Ice and Snow Company.
Really? And what is that?
And we already have the Eskimos, who are building townhouses in Alaska for our first orders.
Really?
Yep.
And what exactly are you sending to Alaska, my friend?
A unique mixture from Rhode Island snow of ice, snow, and water.
Really?
Yeah, you could build buildings with this stuff.
Oh, I'm sure you could. Just trying to get in here was a little bit treacherous, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, we had an ice skating ring out in the parking lot.
Yes, that was
pretty
interesting.
For the Providence Bruins, you know?
Yeah, that was pretty interesting. Unbelievable. A lot going on in the community. Buddy C. Yancey's funeral is Monday. They're going to have his wake. He's laying in state at City Hall on I think today, definitely tomorrow, and then Monday's the funeral. They're going to do a funeral mass, but his hearse is going to go up through Atwells Avenue and all the way down to his final resting place, which is private ceremony, they said. So there'll be a lot of traffic, is what I'm telling everybody, on Monday from 8 to probably around noontime, so just be aware in the Atwells area. So anyway, let's get started, because we have so much to do, so many things to talk about. And after Jim Corbin's break, I have some trivia. We had a really great time yesterday at work. We had a Super Bowl party. Roland James and Ronnie LaPette were due to come in. Unfortunately, Roland James became ill. But Ronnie LaPette, we had him down, and we had a really great time. And he was really fascinating talking about the NFL and how the reality was when you had to play when you were hurt and all of that. But I don't want to take up too much time right now, because I want to get to Richard Lunt, who's sitting very patiently in the studio. And we've got tons of questions. But we'll just read the lottery, and then I'll introduce Richard. Okay, so if you played the lottery, oh man, this is a great day. The Mass daily number is 3056. Let's see, Rhode Island daily number is 8784. Let's give you, Mass Cash, zero. Oh, I'm sorry, it's Mass Cash is 2410. 11 and 19, and the Mega Millions. I don't know anybody who could ever win this, but good luck. Mega Million number is 0. I'm sorry, it says 0406. So I'll read it, because to me it's like 4, 6, 23, 55, 75. The Mega Ball is 2, and the Mega Plier is 3. So we'll get into all the outs and abouts later in the show, but I really do want to talk to Richard Lunt, who was my former news director on WARA when I did my show on Saturday mornings from 9 to noon. So Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Elaine. It's nice to be here today.
It is great. You're such a trooper, too, and you didn't fall in the parking lot, which is great.
No, I didn't do it with my rear axle like I usually do.
Well, gosh, we go back so far, and there's so much that have happened since the last time I seen you, and it'll be great to catch up with you. And but tell us a little bit about your career at WARA. We'll have to go back before we go forward, so
yeah,
give us a little history.
Going back, I noticed you mentioned the former mayor, you know, Buddy Cianci, the late Buddy Cianci. When I was news director, there was an event in Providence the weekend of the AFC Championship game back in 1997 when the Patriots were playing the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they had a huge rally in Providence. So I went to cover it, and I went to do the interviews and stuff like that, and I got to go into City Hall with a reception, and Buddy Cianci was there, and Bob Kraft was there, and
Wow. All
these people. And I actually went up to Buddy Cianci and shook his hand and said that I'm Richard Lunt from WARA, I'm news director, and got a few words. And so he was kind enough to grant a short interview, and Bob Kraft was as well. So.
Wow, that's really great.
Yeah.
That is. I was going to ask you about a career highlight. I guess that was one.
That was one of my career highlights.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had forgotten about that. My God, that's great. But what were some of the most interesting people that you have interviewed over the years?
Well, I've interviewed, city councilors, like, Mayor Robbins. When she was mayor, she was very accessible as far as, interviews, and some of the city councilors back then, they were very cordial as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
So your career in WARA, what were the time frames? Because you were there quite a while.
Yeah, I was there. I started in November of 1995. I was hired by Peter Gay to run the board, like Michael is doing now. And then I was weekend news and then news director, and then Dave Kane came in to be general manager, so I worked for Dave for a while, and then Bonnie Gomes, and it was quite a ride.
Well,
yeah.
I bet it was. Oh,
yeah.
My God. I remember that, too. My God, back in the day, it just seemed like a blink of an eye, and such great times. We had such great camaraderie, too, with Tom Rafferty was there, remember?
Tom was a great newsman. He and I had a real good rapport as far as news. He knew what I wanted as far as story content. And, there were times when we went to cover selectmen's meetings or election night coverage, like in North Attleboro, for instance, we went after the election, we went to cover the results, and then we went to a couple of candidates' houses to get the interviews at their houses too. and Tom and I were joking, it's like, Richard, you're really a hard taskmaster. It's like,
but you got the story all the time.
Got the story,
right?
Got the scoop and the story, and really gave people a good insight to how these candidates are like, and their personalities and stuff like that. And
right.
It was really a fun time for me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when you left WARA, your career took you where?
My career took me out of radio. I worked in retail for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then I worked at Xerox for over 12 years. And then
wow.
I just, when I worked at Xerox, I went to school. I went to Northeastern University, and I received my associate's degree in human resources. And then later on, I got my bachelor's degree in management from Northeastern. And,
did you?
And I decided to embark on a career in human resources. So in 2011, when Xerox was having layoffs, I decided to take the opportunity to branch out and see what I can do in human resources, and I started temping in human resources shortly after that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, are you working still in human resources?
I'm currently temping in human resources, but right now the temp jobs has been slow.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, this is a slow period.
So, right.
And I'm in between assignments, as they say, but I'm looking for a permanent position in human resources.
Great,
yeah.
great. There is a lot of different things in HR throughout the years. There's many different laws and regulations now, and there's just so much to learn, I can only imagine, because times have changed and the workplace has changed, and there's so many difficult, I know that we had a layoff where I was last year for 12 people nationwide and four out of the Providence office. And I'm an office manager and what they call an HR generalist, but I'm not certified yet. I am going for my certification, but we'll talk about that after the break, about what you've done, and also give us some really good tips about resumes and hiring, and I'm sure Mike has some questions for you about that too. But it's very sensitive issue when people come in thinking that they're working a normal day, and then you have to be a part of that team to explain to them that today's your last day. And there's nothing worse than dreading somebody. Oh, it was just really a solemn day. It was just really not fun at all.
It's never easy when you have to take on a task such as, you know, showing someone the door or saying that today is your last day, because, you know, you really feel their pain, because I've been through that, and I'm sure people have.
Oh, yeah.
Other people have as well.
Right. Yeah. It's just really not a fun thing. It takes a lot of tact and compassion, I think. And, it's really difficult, that's for sure. But I do want to get into the lighter side of that, too, about job searching, resume building. You know, what do you look for when people come across your desk with a resume? What are some of the key things? And also, what are the most effective way to find a new job? Should you be looking while you're still employed, or do you wait till you get laid off and then start looking? We're going to be, we have to take a quick break, but my guest in studio is Richard Lunt, and our number here is 508-222-1320. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Don't touch that dial. There's still more of Out and About to come here on WARA.
Writer and filmmaker Rick Beyer will explore the roots of the World War II deception unit known as the Ghost Army on Sunday, February 7th at 1:30 p.m. at the Museum of Working Culture, located on South Main Street in Woonsocket. Rick will share the amazing story of the 23rd Headquarters Special Troops that employed an array of inflatables in the form of tanks, trucks, and even airplanes to fool the enemy. For more information, call the museum at 401-769-9675.
Okay, Sarah, I'm dropping you at Emily's, and Josh, you're going to soccer, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, and by the way, when I pick you up, I'll be wearing my short shorts.
What?
No!
Yep, me and my short shorts doing my daddy dance. Your friends will love it.
No!
Well, I might change my mind if you buckle your seatbelts.
Okay, okay, we're buckling up.
See, all buckled.
Whatever it takes, keep them safe. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 68. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Spring is in the air, and it just so happens to be just in time to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the Attleboro Arts Museum's Flower Show. Garden Party sets the theme for the celebration, starting with a sneak peek benefit on Wednesday, March 16th from 6 to 8 p.m. The show officially opens to the public on the 17th through the 20th. Enjoy the beauty of nature at the museum located on Park Street, with lush landscapes, floral installations, and original artwork displayed throughout the main gallery. For more information, visit their website, AttleboroArtsMuseum.org.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our number here is 508-222-1320. Are you looking for a new career? Do you know how to write a resume that will get the human resources manager interested? These are some of the answers that we're going to do right now. So, Richard, good morning. And what are the most effective ways of finding a position, would you say?
I'd say networking, first of all. Networking is a big part of finding a job. It's not what you know, it's who you know.
It truly is.
If you can get an inside person that you know in a company, that's beneficial to you, beneficial to me, or anybody who is looking for a position. That's one thing. Making sure your resume is clear and concise so that the hiring manager or the representative, hiring representative, knows what you're looking for in a position, or, you know, what type of position you're looking for. And do you meet the qualifications, or if you have similar qualifications, making sure those qualifications are in the resume so it's almost like a clear, exact match. Because in today's environment, a lot of companies are very competitive when it comes to selecting candidates, and they want the resumes that are the perfect fit as far as resumes are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once you get into the interview, that's a whole different process altogether. Once you get into the interview, it's between you and the recruiter, or you and the hiring manager, and if you develop a good rapport, that's a good selling point there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So times really have, like, you really do need to have multiple resumes for multiple positions that you're going for.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask your opinion, since you're an expert at this field. Should, like, say, like, the first five criteria of a job position, should that be the first five criteria in your resume to get the human resource person interested in looking at your resume further?
Yeah, if you have those skills, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I wouldn't say that, to go beyond, lie on your resume and say, oh, I have those skills, when you don't, because mm-hmm. they'll see that right away.
Right.
But if you have, like, four of the five skills that they're looking for, put them in your resume. And so that makes it all the more enticing to the hiring manager or recruiting coordinator or whoever it is that is reviewing the resume.
So you have multiple resumes then for multiple positions you should go off. So it's not just one standard. No, wait, way back when I was applying for positions, it was just one standard one that you sent out to every position, and I wasn't getting very many feedback until I realized and went to a class about resume writing, about how to do it the right way. So you have multiple to match the job almost exactly, but not, like you say, not fabricate things to, you know, entice. But how many resumes does an average HR person get in a day, would you say? If there's a job posting and you're getting hit through media, social media, LinkedIn, all these places, how do you make a resume selection?
Well, with the resume selection, basically a lot of hiring managers, I've heard, like, I worked for one gentleman that he said he got like 500 resumes for just one position.
Right.
And what they do is they send it through a computerized system, like ATS system, applicant tracking system. So if your resume doesn't fit the criteria, it will be booted right into that black hole.
Wow, really?
Yeah. So you want to make your resume basically user-friendly to computerized systems as well. So if you have a lot of these fancy fonts or stuff like that, it might kick it out, so to speak. But the main thing with when a hiring manager or recruiting coordinator or hiring representative is looking for is the exact match of the job description and what the skills they can bring to the position. And put that in the resume.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, once you get contacted by, I know Michael and I were talking about that. If you want to chime in about resumes, go right ahead.
I got a question, Richard. Have you heard of companies now doing or forcing potential employees to go through self-assessment tests before they even get to the interview process?
Well, I actually, great question, Mike, because I actually had a self-assessment test as part of the process when I sent a resume and cover letter into Beth Israel Deaconess Hospital for a benefits administrator position. And part of that process was doing a self-assessment. So that's normal for companies to engage in that type of activity.
Because I remember years ago when you used to look for jobs, you didn't have to do that or have to go through that. Now it seems like a lot of companies have implemented that.
Yeah, and it's a way for a company to assess someone's personality, you know, before they want to bring them in for an interview. Yeah.
That's very interesting. That's a new technique. What are the standard fonts that you should use when you're creating a resume?
Well, I usually use like the standard 12-point font or 11-point font or 10-point font, depending upon, you know, how many pages. I usually stick to 2 pages, or if I can fit into 1 page, that's even better.
Mm-hmm.
But I usually use the chronological format because it works for me. Because you have, you know, the most recent job followed by the previous one, the previous one, and the previous one, then your education, and then your professional associations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how far back should a person put on their resume? Do they go back their whole career? Do they go back 10, 15 years?
Usually it's 15 years. A lot of recruiters that I know, they usually say 15 years. They don't go back way further than that, because mm-hmm. you don't want to reveal the age type of thing, because that's another thing where if you get into a situation where, you know, and we all know this happens with age discrimination, and it
right.
does happen in the workplace when selecting candidates. You want to try to avoid that as much as possible. So there are some tricks to the trade, and there's a book that I've been reading called HR Resume Secrets by Alan Collins, and they suggest things like instead of putting the months, you put just the dates of the job. So it kind of, it's still a chronological type of thing, but it also doesn't reveal too much about how far back it went.
You know. So you give a date like, say, May to September, or?
Or you say, if you had a job between 2014 and 2015, Don't put the months, just put the years.
Oh, the years.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
So there is ageism then out
yeah.
there.
Oh yeah, yeah. it's happened, but also to counteract the age dilemma, make sure you have the skills, updated skills that you can prove to the recruiter that you can do this job. You have the skills. Always update your skills too, so that's important.
Right. Yeah, I know my company, I work for a software technology company, and they're always giving me challenges and doing different things, and it's just like Visio, for instance. Visio is it really is a drawing, grafting type of thing, and I like it very much for org charts and different things, and that's one new skill that I just acquired to doing. But they do all of that for presentations and things, and I thought, oh my God, I'm never going to learn this. And a new software accounting system that they instituted, it took me like about 6 weeks to learn it, and now I'm proficient at it, where I'm teaching others around the world to use this step-by-step, because there was no guide. So I took the initiative to create a step-by-step guide. So from Shanghai to London and everywhere, people can just follow the steps. But it's very involved. It's very involved indeed. So you're absolutely right. And I think one of the tips I can add, too, is make yourself valuable as an employee by doing those things and sharing. I think way back when, people would just be keeping it to themselves versus sharing knowledge. And I think that you get better results if you show your boss and superiors and directors that you are a helpful person going out there and sharing your knowledge and not keeping it. It doesn't benefit the company if you're not sharing those skills.
Exactly. And then, you know, when I was temping with the MBTA in the benefits department, I had a chance to share my knowledge of PeopleSoft with new temps that would be coming on board to help us with this particular project, and I helped to create the training manual for PeopleSoft as well.
Wow, that's so great.
And that was beneficial to me, because it added some skill sets as far as training and development, where
mm-hmm.
I can, or and one-on-one mentoring and coaching the temps on how to use PeopleSoft and how the benefits administration type of position works,
mm-hmm.
as far as data entry and...
Right. I didn't mean to cut you. I'm sorry. I just wanted to ask you, if you can find your perfect position in any industry, where do you see yourself?
I see myself as an HR generalist. That's my goal, is to be an HR generalist. And I have applied to some organizations most recently, and that's my goal, is to be an HR generalist.
Mm-hmm. And can you explain to folks what an HR generalist is?
HR generalist is a person who has different specializations, but they can also deal in different aspects of HR. They specialize in either compensation or benefits or recruiting. You know, like those are the top three, or that could be HRIS or could be just recruiting, or two different things. But it's basically an all around type of position where you know just about everything, mm-hmm. but you do have some three different specializations that you have with this job.
Wow, that sounds really awesome. I know that you have gone to school. You've taken this online course, correct, for HR generalists? Is that correct?
Well, basically what it was is the Society for Human Resources Management, SHRM, they call it. They had a thing called the SHRM CP, which is Certified Professional. Now, the Human Resources Certification Institute also had the PHR. And a couple of years ago, they split. And so SHRM developed the SHRM CP and SHRM Senior CP mm-hmm. course. And so last year, I decided to take the SHRM CP course, which is the equivalent to a PHR. And I took a class from, I think it was February to May at Curry College.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a one Saturday a week until May, and then I took the actual test in June, and it was 160 questions.
Wow.
Yeah. 30 of those questions were practice questions, but we didn't know which ones were the practice questions.
Oh.
But as part of the process, there was like learning tests, like practice tests that I can, you know, get good at testing, and mm-hmm. that's really helped me as far as the SHRM CP course.
Well, congrats. That's wonderful. So you passed the test?
I passed the test.
Great.
I found out in August of 2015 that I passed the test.
Congrats.
And thank you. And then they actually recently sent me the actual results via email. So, and I scored 200, which is the actual, you know, rate that you have to pass with 200.
Wow, that's really awesome. I know we have to take a quick break, and then Jim Corbin's going to be calling in, but can you stay till we end the call?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
wonderful.
Definitely.
All right, great. Well, in studio is Richard Lunt. We have, on the flip side, we have Jim Corbin calling in and talking about our weather, our wonderful, warm, sunny, balmy weather. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's in Florida. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Come Love the Oldies on Friday, February the 12th, from 7 p.m. till midnight at the Attleboro Elks, located on South Main Street. The stage will be set, ready, and waiting for the Villaniers, the Reminiscence, and Portia Funches, daughter of Tony Funches, the lead singer for the legendary Platters. For more information, call 508-509-5400.
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle and here is my spout.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
What is that?
Oh, that? It's my time machine.
Does it work?
Sure. Just hit this button.
Whoa, dinosaurs. Cool.
Or we can go here.
Hey, that's Napoleon.
Oui.
Or we can go to the future.
Wow, hey, you have this nice house. Do I have a nice house?
No, you didn't save any money. Always spent it on vacations and stuff.
If only there was a way I could go back in time and correct that bad habit.
Yep.
Okay, the time machine is not real, but the saving thing is. Get in the habit of putting some of your money in savings each week through a 401k, savings account, or financial investments. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy tips on saving, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
What does this crazy little button do?
Wait, no!
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
The up-and-coming 2016 Rhode Island Spring Flower and Garden Show will run from Thursday, February the 18th through Sunday the 21st at the Rhode Island Convention Center. Spring Fling marks the theme with a dazzling array of landscape and floral displays created by well-seasoned designers, ready to refresh with a long-awaited spring experience. For more information, visit their website at www.flowershow.com.
Good morning, everyone. We have Richard Lunt in the studio. And before Jim Corbin calls in, I wanted to ask Richard, and we were talking about this, if you're looking for a new job and or you're just trying to put out some feelers, I asked Richard, and he's willing to share this with us, what is the number one site online, you know, LinkedIn, Indeed, Monster? Which one really gets an HR person's attention?
It's usually LinkedIn and Indeed. Those are the top two.
They are.
I wouldn't go with Monster or Career Builder because, you know, in my experience with Monster, all I get was like financial services companies, like commission sales, and those are the type of positions that they'll take anybody. And yeah, I've learned not to deal with putting my resume out there on Monster or Career Builder just because of that fact that's all that they're looking for, that's all the recruiters there. They you know, the financial services companies always look for Monster and Career Builder. But mm-hmm. the other ones like Indeed and LinkedIn, those are the top two that I would go with.
So go job searching. And also how many months should someone go in and start updating their resume?
As far as
if you're applying for, should you have multiple ones out there, or like when you're applying online for a particular job? But if you're going into Indeed, say if you're going into Indeed.com and you're registering your resume, is there room for more than one resume that you can?
You could always have several different target resumes.
Good, that's what I was asking.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, great. Wow.
If you want to, especially for career changers, mm. I mean, people are in the career change, you know, I would suggest that you have different type of resumes that, if you're not successful in your new career, you know, go back to what your old career, see if you can get a job through, you know, your old career until you can make that break into the new career.
Right.
So always have that resume on site as well. I mean, on the side as well.
Right. Yeah. Very good tips. Thank you so much. You're going to hang around till the 8 o'clock hour?
Oh, yeah.
All right, great. Well, we have Jim Corbin's going to be giving us that wonderful 80-degree weather, Jim, today. Is that what we're hearing?
Yep. We're going to be probably actually close to 90.
Woo! I can't wait.
Down in South Florida, yeah. Anyway, hello to you and Mike and Richard. And, we've got kind of a rough morning out there underfoot, I'm sure, as you've known. And the real reason why we had some issues, still have power outage issues, is kind of obvious. We talk about this all week in the forecasts. We knew this was going to be a very wet snow. We always talk about water content. And, of course, it rained initially the other night and then went over to snow. So what happened was there was a lot of water on the wires already from rain. And then when it went over to snow, the snow was wet, and it stuck to, obviously, the wires and the branches and the trees, and then it started to weight them down. So even though the snowfall totals, when you stick a ruler in them, were actually not that high. I mean, it was certainly about an average of about 6 or so inches in the Attleboro area, but it had a large, heavy mass to it, and that's why you had some of these wires that came down, branches, and that's the main reason why there still are some power outages around the area. Now, for example, out to the west of here, say out towards Worcester and points beyond, they had about almost a foot of snow, but the snow was more fluffy, and it didn't stick to the wires, and they had little or no issues with actual power outages. So it's a lot of times it's the consistency of the snow or precipitation that you get, and that's why we still have it very unpleasant underfoot, because the wet snow, of course, well below freezing early this morning, so everything has turned to not solid ice, but sort of a combination of snow and ice, and that's what makes it tough to move around, and also tough for any plows that want to kind of finish the job. But at least we're going to go above freezing this afternoon for at least a few hours. So there'll be some minor melting, some dripping off the eaves, that kind of thing. But then it'll go back down below freezing tonight as the cold air continues. Now, again, it's not bitterly cold. It's going to change, though, in a few days. I'll talk about that in just a second. So really not a bad day. Great for skiing this weekend. Of course, Yagu Valley, Blue Hills, Neshoba Valley up northwest of Boston, and some of the Connecticut ski areas are going to do well this weekend because they now have a good portion of natural snow, and of course it's the weekend, so the kids will be able to come out, families. So and no, I don't own a ski area, and I'm not promoting it that way. But the point being that it's a good weekend for skiing. We have no issues with precipitation and travel. Again, just watch out underfoot as you're walking around. Then on Monday and Tuesday, though, well, again, we have another shot at some snow, both Monday and Tuesday, with temperatures in the low to mid-30s. So, again, the snowfall was not exactly going to be a real fluffy snow. So we may have some issues, once again, with the snow weighting down. Now, hopefully we'll be able to get some of the snow to melt off or brush off. I highly advise that if you have nothing to do and you can get at it, if you have, say, bushes or some tree branches around this weekend and you might be walking around, you might want to take a stick to them and to shake off the snow, because that really helps. You might have heard, Elaine, about a little girl up in Canton was killed yesterday by a branch fell on her, a large, heavy branch in Canton, due to the heavy, heavy weight of the snow. And other issues where there were close calls, sparks on the with the wires coming down and flames on the ground in some areas. Again, nothing widespread. But that's the issue that we're dealing with right now. It is very beautiful to look at right now with the sun out early this morning, but that's going to be an issue. So, again, a little bit more snow possible Monday and Tuesday, just to add on to what we have. And then, again, another probably minor shot of snow on Thursday. Now, after that, next weekend, of course, is the Valentine's Day weekend, the 14th, and it looks like the coldest weather of the winter so far coming in. Now, not like last winter, certainly, but we may be down close to zero, perhaps by Valentine's Day morning, which is next Sunday.
Wow. Can you give us any accumulations for Monday and Tuesday, or is it too early to tell?
It's not that it's early to tell. It's only 2 or 3 days away, but it's I won't get into it, but it's more of a complicated situation. There's actually going to be two areas of low pressure, but if I had to probably estimate between the combination of Monday and Tuesday, we may be looking at another 5 or 6 inches by the end of the day on Wednesday. And so it's going to look like a winter wonderland and feel like it for a while. We have not seen this type of weather pattern all winter long, obviously. It's been so warm. The difference between this winter and last winter, obviously, a lot of snow the second half, but we also, last winter, even though there wasn't much snow for the first half, it was very cold most of the time. This winter, it has not been. It's been quite mild, and of course, we've had incidents of people going out on ice and almost drowning and things like that. So you have to be careful on the ice in this situation. But the real story is the groundhog was wrong from the other day, and which is obviously, it's a ridiculous thing. It's just a fun thing that they do out there. But for some reason, even though I think the sun was out, he did not see a shadow in Punxsutawney Phil's area. But since he didn't see a shadow, that's meant that spring obviously is now here. There's no more winter, and that's obviously ridiculous. Now, the same thing on that day is Candlemas Day, which is a more religious type of thing. And they say when he doesn't see his shadow, it means that there'll be at least 6 more weeks of winter. So Candlemas Day's folklore worked out this time over the groundhog, because we obviously are in midwinter. And by the way, a year ago this morning, Elaine, do you know what was going on? February.
No, I'm sorry, Jim. I can't remember.
Okay, what's the matter with you? No, it was about 2 below 0 in the greater Attleboro area, Providence, and general areas right around 0 below. We had about 20 inches of snow on the ground, so it could be worse. And, of course, last winter we were in the midst of the 5.5-week onslaught of snow with no rain. It never rained last February. Every time there was precipitation, it was snow. And, of course, we had not only the deep snow, but where to put it, and putting it in you know, parks and things like that. In Attleboro, I think it was, you know, the park there off of South Main Street. But the point being, again, we're not catching up to last winter. I don't think it's going to be anything like last winter. But at least for the next week to 10 days, we're in the depths of sort of typical winter weather that we have not had up until recently.
Mm. You know what I wanted to ask you? Coming in here, it was like a winter wonderland. It was beautiful, peaceful, very little car. There were no cars on the road. You know, the trees were like lined with beautiful snowflakes and everything. It was great. Yeah. But when I was looking at the sky, there was a sliver of the moon. And like right, like down to the left, there was a star. Was that Venus by
any
chance?
That's the waning crescent. Matter of fact, I'm glad you brought that up because I know you like to talk about we like to talk about the moon and the stars. The full snow moon of all times is the 22nd this month, so that's in coming up in about just over 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's the full snow moon this month. Last month it was the full cold moon for January. The February one is the full snow moon, and that's kind of makes sense. Typically, a lot of people don't think about it, but usually here in southern New England, February is our snowiest month, not January. January is usually the coldest month, but February is the snowiest month, and that's why one of the main reasons the full moon name for February is the full snow moon.
I did not know that, and I try to learn something new every day.
Well, I've been learning stuff, too, in your conversation with Richard, and I've enjoyed that. By the way, I just want to make I'll end on this, and again, watch out underfoot. Again, and even today, if the breeze picks up, you might have little clumps of snow falling off wires and things like that, so you want to watch out for that. But other than that, as you said, it's very picturesque right now out there because there's no wind. This hour of the morning typically there's very little wind, so everything looks nice and in terms of the beauty of it, but just watch out underfoot. And I just wanted to mention, in terms of daylight, with our sunrise this morning at 6:54, obviously it's been almost an hour since it rose. That is 18 minutes longer than the earliest or the latest sunrises, and we've gained 50 minutes in the late afternoon. I'm sure everyone knows that. You can tell it's lighter in the late afternoon. 5:05 is the sunset, and it was setting at 4:15 back in December, so we've gained 50 minutes.
Oh, that's so nice.
Just in the late afternoon. And that's the good thing about, I like February and March in terms of, yeah, we get snow. Of course, March we get some snow, pretty good snows. But in between the storms, a lot of times there's a lot of bright sunshine, like a day like today. And it's picturesque, and plus there's longer days. So as I've said to you before, and I'll end on this, Elaine, as I always say, my worst 2 months are November and December in terms of weather, not for other reasons. Obviously, we have the holidays. But November and December are the worst 2 winter months. The best 2 winter months, as far as I'm concerned, are January and especially February and March. Because when you get a snowfall, even in March, it can be nice, picturesque. The kids can get out. But then, you know, in probably a few days, a lot of it's going to melt away.
Right, right.
So, Jim, I got a quick question.
Sure.
Are we going to get another batch of that concrete snow mixture this week?
It probably won't be like it was this time, because I said earlier, it started as rain, and the temperatures, if you know, yesterday were right around 32, 33 degrees when it was snowing. And you say, how can it snow when it's above freezing? Well, it's all due to if it's cold aloft, the snow doesn't have a chance to melt. But what happens is, again, we almost knew this. I talked about this all week, the threat for power outages, just because of the fact, and others do, other forecasters as well, that the heavy, wet snow is not a good thing, and especially when the breeze picked up yesterday, that's what caused some of the branches to come down. Again, the tragedy up there in Canton with the little girl, but in other locations where people were dodging some branches coming down. This video online, you can see, even in this area, our area here in Bristol County and vicinity, of some branches coming down. You know, all these people that have these dash cams, and they were dodging some branches coming down. So I don't think it'll be like that this upcoming week, but looks like, Mike, we will have at least a few more inches spread out off and on through the rest of this upcoming week, and then the bitter cold for next weekend and Valentine's Day.
That's good news.
Okay, great. Well, listen.
I know, you love it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, again, thanks again, and again, great conversation, and I'll talk to you next week.
Sounds wonderful. Have a great weekend. Stay warm, and be careful when you're walking on that ice, too, because it does, with the snow underneath it, it's all ice, because we found out in our parking lot here, so be careful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough underfoot. That's really the beauty of today in terms of the trees. It looks beautiful, but underfoot is the not-so-beauty of today.
Correct. Well said, my friend. Well said. I'll look forward to chatting with you next weekend.
Okay, Elaine. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, there goes Jim Corbin, our wonderful meteorologist, and he's just really so great, full of knowledge. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our number here is 508-222-1320. If you have a resume question, Richard Lunt is here until 8 o'clock, and we're going to be talking to him a little bit more. And also, too, when we come back on the flip side, we actually have a Super Bowl trivia questions I'm going to be asking you and also our guest in studio. So stay tuned. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hope Artiste Village, located on Main Street in Pawtucket, is the place to be on Saturdays throughout the winter season. Local vendors will be available from 9 till 1 p.m. at the Pawtucket Wintertime Farmers Market with a variety of in-season fruits, vegetables, eggs, and so much more. To find out what's up and growing each and every week at the market, visit the web at Pawtucket/Wintertime Farmers Market. Buy fresh, buy local.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I was sensitive to lights and sounds, so I built secret hiding places where they couldn't get in. Sometimes, I do the same things over and over, until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Spring is in the air, and it just so happens to be just in time to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the Attleboro Arts Museum's Flower Show. Garden Party sets the theme for the celebration, starting with a sneak peek benefit on Wednesday, March 16th from 6 to 8 p.m. The show officially opens to the public on the 17th through the 20th. Enjoy the beauty of nature at the museum located on Park Street with lush landscapes, floral installations, and original artwork displayed throughout the main gallery. For more information, visit their website, attleboroartsmuseum.org.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you're all awake now because we sure are on fire here. Our number here is 508-222-1320. Running my board today and being so cheerful as always every Saturday morning. Hi, Mike. How are you doing today?
Hello, Ling. I'm really happy Richard's back.
I know. And Richard Lunt is here, too. And I've asked him to give us an update as what's happening in the area. But before that, I'm just going to read you one and then I'm going to turn it over to our good friend Richard Lunt to read us up out and abouts that are in the area. And if we have time, I've got a Super Bowl trivia quiz for you all out there. And I'm wanting to know, think about this. Who won the very first Super Bowl? Did the Jets, Green Bay, or the Dallas Cowboys win? And I'll give you the answer in just a moment. But anyway, there's a unique thing happening at Patriot Place at Gillette Stadium. It's called Pigskin Peanuts. And it's at the Hall of Fame at the Patriot Place on Route 1 in Foxborough. And it runs through April 20th. April 30th. So you still have time. It's Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 5 and Saturdays 10 a.m. to 7, Sunday 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And basically what it is, it's all the Peanuts comics that are all having pertained to football. So if you would like to see that, if you're a Peanuts fan, There's over 75 drawings, and I love peanuts. So check it out if you have a chance to do that. It's a fun family thing. And then I'll turn it over to my good friend Richard Lund, who's going to give you a couple more outs and abouts.
All right. Here's what else is happening out and about. Come Love the Oldies. Oh, this sounds pretty good. Fundraiser for Food Pantry Assistance. It's going to be happening on February 12th. That's on a Friday from 7 p.m. to midnight. And one of the featuring groups is one of my favorites is the Reminiscence, an oldies group from the Boston area. They've been in existence since 1973. Also, who will be there was Portia Funches, daughter of Tony Funches from the Platters. For tickets, call Pat at 508-509-5400. All the profits will be donated to Outreach to purchase high-protein food for our local food pantries. Attleboro's Winter Night Festival is coming up on Saturday, February 20th. Put that on your calendar because that's always a great time. Hopefully we'll have snow as well. And just to add to the ambiance, it's from 5 to 9, again, on Saturday, February 20th. And family fun for all ages, free admission. That's the key word, free admission. Come on down. And also coming up, also spaghetti dinner. Oh, my gosh, I love spaghetti. It's this fundraiser proceeds to benefit Karen Langille Fire Fund. Dinner includes spaghetti, meatballs, bread, salad, dessert, and coffee. I'm getting hungry already. And there'll be a DJ, raffles, a 50-50 raffle. Tickets are $10. Kids, $4. Kids are 3 to 12 years old. They get $4 to get in. It's going to be held at the American Legion Post, 312 on 437 Newport Avenue in South Attleboro.
Very good. Very well said. So, guys, who won the very first Super Bowl, the Jets, Green Bay Packers, or Dallas Cowboys?
I'm going to say the Jets.
I'm going to say the Dallas Cowboys.
Nope. It was the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, okay. Vince Lombardi.
I know.
I bet he was.
That was in the 60s, wasn't it?
Probably. I don't know. I was just born then. All right, who won Super Bowl 25? New York Giants or Tampa Bay?
New York Giants.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Bill Parcells was the head coach.
Wow.
Bill Belichick was the defensive coordinator.
Very good. Very good. All right, then you must know this one. When did the Boston Patriots become the New England Patriots?
Now,
Wasn't that in the 70s, 74, around that time period?
Right around 1970 when they moved to the stadium. Schaefer Stadium.
That's right, Schaefer Stadium. It was actually, you're right, 1971. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And who won Super Bowl 20, Chicago Bears or the New England Patriots?
Chicago Bears, 46-10.
Right.
Tony Eason was the quarterback.
Wow.
And then he got knocked out of the game, and Steve Grogan was the backup, and Grogan came in and finished the rest of the game.
Wow, that is amazing. All right, who said life's three important things were family, religion, and the Green Bay Packers? Coach.
I would say Vince Lombardi.
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
For whom the Vince Lombardi Super Bowl trophy is named after.
That's right. That's
wow.
Yes, that's true. And what year did the NFL require headgear to be worn? 1971, 1972, 1943?
I'm going to say 1943.
Mm-hmm. You're right. I mean, that makes sense. And now we hear all about these things about concussions and mm-hmm. not really good. So I had the pleasure of hosting Ronnie LaPette at work yesterday. Roland James was going to be coming, but unfortunately he couldn't. So what I did is I worked up a couple of Roland James and Ronnie LaPette questions, and there's just a couple more, and then we can wrap up. I know we've only got a couple more minutes, but who attended the University of Tennessee, Ronnie LaPette or Roland James?
Roland James.
Yes, that's right. And who was the defensive back in the NFL league for 11 seasons, Ronnie LaPette, Roland James?
I'm going to say Ronnie LaPette.
Yeah, I would say the same thing.
Nope, Roland James.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Roland was, okay, good.
But who was drafted by the New England Patriots in the eighth round draft in 1983? Roland James, Ronnie LaPette.
Yeah, I'm going to say
Ronnie LaPette.
Ronnie LaPette.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
1983, and I believe the coach was Ron Meyer back then.
Really?
Yeah.
And who is your prediction for winning the Super Bowl this Sunday?
I'm going to go with the Carolina Panthers.
All right, yeah. How about you?
I'm going to go for the other side.
The Broncos?
Yep.
You are. You know, Carolina is predicted to win by 6 points. Yeah.
We will see.
We definitely.
Tomorrow.
Yes. Yeah, both have very good defenses, too.
They do. Yeah, I think for the first, and there's an age difference. The facts, NFL fact is this. Peyton Manning is 13 years older than the Carolina Panthers quarterback.
Wow.
And so that age difference, experience difference, they say. But I think it's all about skill when it comes down to everything, don't you?
Yeah, and also the big play and who can have the most big plays.
Yes.
Who can make the most big plays will determine the winner.
It definitely will be thrilling, that's for sure. Well, listen, we do have to wrap up our show. We've only got a few more seconds to go, but you have been just really phenomenal. Richard, thank you so much for coming on. And
my pleasure.
I also want to thank Mike and Jim Corbin, who always comes on every single Saturday and enhances our show. And to you, our listeners, thank you so much. This is Elaine the Roach, and stay tuned on Monday through Friday. Dominic will be back at 10 a.m., followed by Paul Healy. And meet me back here next Saturday at 7 a.m. bright and early, because Mike and I will be here for sure, and Jim Corbin will be on at 7:35 as well. So watch the Super Bowl. It's going to be a fantastic time. And drive safe out there, everyone. And we'll be back next Saturday at 7 a.m. with Out and About with Elaine.